Let's pray. Hold your hands. Let's pray.
Say our Father. We thank you. We've come to hear the word. Our heart is open to your word. Our spirit is receptive to your word. We'll receive your word with meekness of heart. There's clarity. There's no error in this atmosphere. We are edified. You are glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Are you with your Bibles? I want to start on a... It's more or less like a Bible study. It's more or less like a Bible study. Remember we are discussing before now, identifying the church, right? Now, what we are doing today is more or less like a Bible study. And it's going to go for the next few weeks also. Hallelujah. We are discussing on the topic, a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Paul's first writing to the church at Corinth. So you can title it, a study on the book of Corinth. A study on the book of 1 Corinthians. That would be better off. Because we'll still look at that of 2 Corinthians much, much later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me? Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy. I'm going to talk about Corinthians. I'll start from 1 Timothy. I'm going to give you the reason why I say let's start from 1 Timothy. Yes, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. Now, Timothy was a pastor sent to Corinth too. I hope you know that he was sent by Paul to Corinth. So you're going to find instructions that Paul gives to Timothy for the church at Corinth. Or for the churches that he's going to pastor. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Did I say 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life. Manner of life, purpose, pursuit. Okay, purpose, I say pursuit. Faith. Long suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, what happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endure, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. 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 So you followed my teaching. And he told him in chapter 2, verses 2, he said, and these things which you've heard from me, which is the teachings you've heard from me. Do you understand me? So these things you've heard from me. Among many witnesses. It says, this same thing, say, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 13 of chapter 1. It says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Do you see? It tells him, these words are sound words. Do you understand me? He used the word sound words. Some translations say sound doctrines. Hallelujah. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you've heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And he said, those things you've heard from me in chapter 2, he said, commit them to faithful brethren. I mean, to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In chapter 3, he told him, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember what we spoke about when we're discussing identifying the church in the introductory section. We said in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, we'll find out that teaching of the world brings about what? Instruction in righteousness. That is the main goal. Remember, Paul writes in two ways. Paul writings can be classified into two. Sometimes Paul uses what they call shorthand and longhand. Now, permit that. Hallelujah. Now, for example, look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses. It said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Right? And he went further to use another word. He said, for reproof, which is doctrine will be seen. Doctrine will produce what? Reproof. Now, the word doctrine is a shorthand. Now, Paul is now going to give the end product of doctrine. For example, also, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, he said, he gave some apostles, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for their defining, right? I mean, for the equipping of the saints. The next word used is the word for. For the work of the ministry. Now, the word for the for the equipping of the saint, kanatismos, is a shorthand. Do you understand me? Now, where would you see that? He says, in the work of the ministry, in the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not three things. It's not that the pastors are going to do. No, it's telling you that the equipping of the saints will be seen in the fact that the body of Christ is edified. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So it's a shorthand and it's a longhand. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Paul is saying here, look at verses. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God is one word, and it's profitable for doctrine, which is what? For teaching. Hallelujah. Did you see that? It's profitable for teaching. Jesus Christ said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Meaning, if doctrine is to produce about nurture, meaning the words of Christ, there are several words he spoke about that was to bring about what? Nurturing. Instructions in righteousness. I hope you know that. For example, they told Jesus Christ, teach us, John taught that his people how to pray, teach us how to pray. Jesus Christ said, when you pray, say, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, some people think daily bread is talking about the bread for the day. Hallelujah, daily hustle. No, say, give us this day our daily bread. If you read the way Jesus Christ used the word daily bread, he referred to himself. Say, I'm the bread of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then if you look at the word daily bread, you discover that is the bread is like, he's talking about, he told them, your father ate manna, ate bread in the wilderness. Who are they? Say, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. So he was referring to himself. He said, give us that daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Now he's talking about, he's bringing about his work on the earth. Hallelujah. Which is, he will forgive their sins. Hallelujah. Forgive us our trespasses as we. Now the word as we forgive those does not mean the Father is going to forgive because you've forgiven others. No. He's telling you, forgive us our trespasses. That is wrong translation. Does not translate it well. The translation actually read, forgive us our trespasses so that we will be able to forgive those in the same way we've seen you forgive our trespasses. Are you hearing me? Now, you find instructions from his words. Hallelujah. Now, these things, when they become born again, they begin to find it as a way to growth. Matthew chapter 7 told them, judge not. Right? He told them, be ye not angry. They asked him, how many times must my brother offend me before I forgive? He says, 70 times 7. Did you see that? Meaning, you become a demon to count 70 times 7 in a day. Meaning, forgiveness is something that is given. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? It is, you find things for spiritual maturity from the words of Jesus. Though they were not born again, but he told them. They were not yet children of God, but he told them, your heavenly Father, right? He referred to the heaven. But later on, he told them, they don't know him. Do you understand the way he put? Now he's referring to them, he's saying those things to them because he knows that they will come in. Do you understand me? So they will now find his words as what? as instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He did that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, teaching is to bring about what? Instruction in righteousness. Then that means, if Paul is writing to Timothy like this, it then means that Paul's writing to the churches is to bring about what? Instruction in righteousness. So if you read his writings, you should find instructions in righteousness, which is paideia, training in righteousness, from there. Meaning Paul's words, Paul's letter, and the letter of the apostles were to bring about what? Instructions in righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, so the same way Paul writing to the church at Corinth is to bring about what? Instruction in righteousness for their spiritual growth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Look at what Paul told them. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ." Did you see that? Now, number one, you've seen that there, Paul is saying he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, but as unto babes. That means what Paul will be writing to them, we will find what? Instruction to spiritual growth. Right? Did you see that? Meaning we'll find instruction to spiritual growth from them. From his writing to the church. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Did you see that? He said, look at verse 2. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you have not been able to receive it. And even now you are not still able." He now goes to chapter 10. That's now concerning spirituals. Do you understand me? Concerning food sacrifice to idols. Begin to tell them concerning this. Because these are, the church at Corinth is actually Paul's church. Paul actually started up the church. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Paul founded that church. Hope you know that. Act of Apostles chapter 18. Let's see. Act of Apostles chapter 18. In Act of Apostles chapter 18 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry, chapter 19. Woo-hoo-hoo. We will have done a long study. Okay. Is it chapter 18? No. Okay, chapter 18. Sorry. Please, just a little miss up. Chapter 19 spoke about when Apollos went to Corinth. So Paul actually started up the church at Corinth. Then Apollos went immediately there. Apollos went there, and that was even when there was not division. Okay, we'll look at it. Chapter 18, from verse 1. We're going to do a long study. We'll do a long study to verse 18 so that we understand the gist there. Hallelujah. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens, and went to Corinth. And he moved from Athens to Corinth. Now, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we were discussing during the vigil, I made mention about these two names, right? Aquila. Did I say? Eh? Did I say something about them? I thought I did, from Romans, that they staked their neck for Paul. Did I say that? Eh? Did I? Okay, thank you. You are blessed.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So you can see that in Romans chapter 15 though. Hallelujah. So they stake their neck for Paul. And the same way, the same word Paul used, the same word he used, how you should teach the word, staking your life for the gospel in 1 Timothy. Did I say that? Huh? I did, right? Okay, let's move ahead. Hallelujah. Now, he said, so because now we find these two characters, even in his writing to the church at Corinth, he mentions these two characters too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he came to them. Now, Paul came to them. Hallelujah. So because he was of the same trade, take note, Paul had a handiwork. Because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked by occupation. They were tent makers. Do you see that? They were what? Tent makers. Hallelujah. So, Paul had a work. Aquila had a work. And what is that woman's name again? Her name is Priscilla. I need to listen to you. Yes. That I would, you know, hallelujah. Priscilla, Prisca, eh? Okay, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Now, look at this verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. I wanted to take note of this because what I'm going to say after now, you're going to get it's going to be from what we've read. Meaning in the church at Corinth, they had Jews and they had the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 5. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 6. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said to them, your blood be upon your own head. I'm clean. And from now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. They rejected the gospel. What did he do? He left them. Does this sound like what Jesus told the disciples to do? Go to a house. You are not welcome. He said what? He did not say they should literally just do it. I said, ta 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 ta. See you. I'm done. You know, some people are like that. You begin to act drama. Jesus said, what Jesus Christ just said is what he meant. See, Jesus spoke there figuratively. You have to know when words are figuratively used in the scripture and you learn to keep them that way. Do you understand me? Eh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see some people, they don't hear me. And you know those sitting in the face, they say your dust, but they forgot that their own feet is still stepping on the dust. Hallelujah. He did not dust it very well. Hallelujah. He just wants to reject it to go. Hallelujah. Somebody now said, even Jesus Christ gave the disciples power. And that is why when you study the writings of Jesus, you find instruction in righteousness. Some people say Jesus Christ said to his disciples, whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain is retained. Meaning the disciples cannot retain sins. Your sin will never be forgiven. Did you die? No, sorry. Did I die for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when we were babes, we do that a lot, a whole lot of times. Hallelujah. If heaven be above my head, hallelujah. Because they don't understand. Hallelujah. See, Jesus was telling the disciples, but I don't debate, but I know I'm trying to look for a time, maybe during GPLC, one of the retreat days, maybe an hour, we just need to talk about the message of Christ on the earth. So we're going to look at all his words he told his disciples. Everything, both parables. And we're going to see it in the light of what he did. See it how he said it. Hallelujah. So that we don't have too many people doing too many odd things. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Would that be lovely? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus told them, your sins, you will retain it, it doesn't mean you go ahead and start retaining people's sins. Hallelujah. It's just what Paul did. When you go with the gospel and they accept it, their sins will be forgiven in Christ. Hallelujah. And when they reject it, he didn't say you are the one that will now hold it. They've retained their sins. So whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. It's like when you take the gospel to them and they accept the message, they are born again. Their sins are forgiven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? So when they reject the gospel, what has happened to them?
As you think.
Not go ahead and say, I retain your sin. You, your own sin. See, on that judgment day, I will sit with Christ and I will judge you. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. So you see, it's just, you find what Jesus said to them. Paul is doing the same thing here. Hallelujah. And he departed from there and entered the house, verse 7, of a certain man named Justus. And I mean, one who worshipped God. If you go to the book of Corinth, you also find Justus there. Justus, Titus, right? Titus, Justus. Hallelujah. Now, Paul was in his house. Hallelujah. And his house was the next door to the synagogue. Then Cyprus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now, remember, Paul didn't go and gather. He started from the house. From whose house? Justus, right? Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months. Where? In Corinth. Did you see that? 1 year, 6 months. Teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuade men to worship God contrary to the law. Hallelujah. Verse 14. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look it to yourself, for I do not want to be a judge of such matter. And drove them from the judgment seat. And all the Greek took sustenance, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. Verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. He stayed there a good while. Then he took his leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He and his hair cut off at... Okay? God bless you. Hallelujah. I don't like it in my mouth. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Those ancient cities. God bless them. Hallelujah. Now, automatically, we can see that the church at Corinth was planted by who? Paul. And he stayed there many years to plant it? 1 year, 6 months. Hallelujah. Let me quickly give you a brief rundown on the happenings at Corinth. This will help us in our study. Hallelujah. Okay, the city of Corinth was a commercial city. You have to understand that it was a commercial city. You had both, we read that they had both the Jews and the Gentiles, right? Right? Now, the Romans used the city of Corinth. They were under, you know, these were the days of the Roman captivity. Hmm? The Romans were, Rome was the world power. Hmm? Italy, you heard Italy in. Hallelujah. Now, Rome used the city to deliver their cargoes, to deliver and send cargoes. So that city of Corinth, so it's a commercial center. Hmm? Are you hearing me? And we discover that now, since it was a commercial center, people from all walks of life come there. What do you think will be happening there? There will be serious carnality. Love of money will be high. Right? It's a rich city, so many will be rich and many will be poor. Did you know that? A rich city, a commercial center, you have more beggars, more poor people, and more rich people. Do you understand that? So we're going to have. I'm trying to paint your mind on what is happening. Now, since it was a center for this kind of activity, the Roman soldiers were much there, and history had it that the Roman Empire, their soldiers, or the Roman Empire, or the Roman soldiers were known in those days for mass sexual immoralities. So if you are seeing how that place was. Hmm? Since it had people of different walks of life, it's going to bring about what? What do you think is going to happen? There will be several worship of idols. People from different walks of life coming with their different gods to serve. Do you understand that? Hmm? So have different things like that. Hallelujah. 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 So, it then tells you, just look at what I wrote. Just listen to what I wrote. Okay. Where should I start from? Okay, just look at this. The further accounts of Paul's, the city of Corinth was a commercial city where the Rome used for sending and delivery of cargoes. This further accounts for Paul's warning against idolatry. Also, the activity of the atmosphere where the church is located accounted for Paul's strict warning against sexual immorality, because the Roman soldiers who were accounted for their sexual looseness. The city of Corinth was a busy city with intellectuals. We see that as we go ahead. With intellectuals, because of this, many had pride. You know, where there's too much money, there will be pride, right? Pride and strife existed. Okay. So we saw Paul also in this church, and also at the church of Ephesus, because they have somehow similar geographical location. Somehow, we find Paul warning, bringing about, talking much more about identification with Christ. Do you understand me? Taking their minds off what is happening in the world. Let's open our Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, here just a brief rundown on atmosphere of how the society was. And also, we have some few characters to mention, but if you have, if you read chapter 1, you find Cole's household. Cole, C-H-O-L-E. Some people call it Choli. Chlory. Choli. Okay, Chlory. Is that Chlory? No, is that the spelling? Okay, that's the pronunciation. Hallelujah, that's good. Nice pronunciation. Oh, it's my own ish. It's C-H-L-O. I'm writing C-H-O-L. So sorry, it's me. Okay, it's Chlory. Thank you. You have Chlory's household. Thank you for the correction. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll find Chlory's household there. Now, from that, from what Paul spoke about glory, household, you identify two things. It's either it's a place where they meet, where the church meets, or the fact that this person was a leader of the church. Another character you find is the character Apollos. We're going to discuss Apollos much, much later. I hear me in the course of the study. Another character you find there is Timothy. In fact, in almost all of Paul's writing, apart from Romans, he was also mentioned in the book of Rome. In almost Paul's writing, you discover that Timothy had is a major character in all of his writing, apart from his writing to Galatians. His Galatians, because the writing to Galatians was Paul's first writing, according to, do you understand? But you find Timothy almost all his writings. It shows Timothy was a significant part of Paul's, or is a true son, was a son of Paul. You find him in 1 Corinthians 4:17, chapter 16, verse 10, verse 24, Romans 16, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 1, verse 19. You find him mentioning him in Romans 6:21, Philippians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, 1 Thessalonians 3:6, 2 Thessalonians 1:1. Take it again. For some people. Okay, you have find it in 1 Corinthians 4:17, 16 verse 10. 16 verse 24. I've showed you how to write those things, right? 16:10, 16:24. You find them in Romans, 2 Corinthians 1:1. 2 Corinthians 1:1, 1:19. Okay? You find him in Romans 16:21. Find him in Philippians 1:1. Find him in Philippians 2:19. You find him in Philemon 1:1. You find him in Colossians 1:1. Find him in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:1. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. You find him in 2 Thessalonians 1:1. So you see, Timothy is a major part of Paul's character in Paul's writing. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. See, Paul, listen now, we're flowing. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and our brother. Verse 2. Hallelujah. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he referred to the church as what? The sanctified. Hallelujah. Which is holy. That word is used 29 times. It's called hagizu. Hallelujah. 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 Or pronounced hagiazu. Hallelujah. Either hagizo or pronounce agiazo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not Pastor Agizo. Hallelujah. Hagiazo. That's better pronounced. Okay. There are two kinds of pronunciation when it comes to Greek. You have the old and the new. Hallelujah. Now let's go ahead. Now, he called them sanctified. He called the church sanctified, meaning the church is holy. Do you understand me? Mark Paul's words. Now, in Christ, called to be saints with all who are in every place. I mean, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hallelujah. Verse 3. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word is not true. Peace from God our Father, which is, or who is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The word used is the word K. Okay, K. Hallelujah. Verse 4, he said, I thank my God always. Look at verse 4. He said, I thank my God always. He said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. You need to get note of this. See, you are enriched by him. Now, it gives you a picture. Now, Paul uses the word enriched. The word for enriched is to make wealthy. It's the word P-L-O-U-T-I-Z-O. Hallelujah. Called plotizo. Is used for wealthy. You find the same word in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10. Hallelujah. Find the same word in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Enriched. Now he said they were, or that enriched in everything by him in all utterance. Now it tells you how they are enriched. In utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. 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 Now the word for or in all utterance, which is knowledge, hallelujah. Now the word for knowledge is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. This is Paul used gnosis 16 times when writing to the church at Corinth. Now it shows how knowledgeable these guys were. You understand me? Shows how knowledgeable they were. We're going to know what they were knowledgeable on as we read further. Hallelujah. We're going to know what they are knowledgeable on. Not knowledge of, because gnosis can actually be seen. They call it scientific knowledge. Scientific knowledge. But knowledge that you acquire. Knowledge that is acquired or that is taught. Hallelujah. Scientific knowledge. When somebody, is also used for knowledge you acquire from school and all those things that are called gnosis. Do you understand me? But you see, gnosis too can, it's different from the word epignosis, because epignosis has to do with exact and full knowledge. It's different from the one called gnosko. Gnosko has to do with knowledge by revelation with relationship. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? Now, suffice or permit me to say that gnosis refers to an awareness or a knowledge by discovery. You could look at it as a knowledge by discovery. It's a kind of knowledge that is not in-depth. It's like shallow. You don't know it in-depth. Do you understand me? It's not full. It's not complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you find Paul using this word several times in the Bible. In Romans chapter 2 verse 20, Romans chapter 11 verse 33, chapter 15 verse 14, we find him using it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 5, chapter 8 verse 1 and verse 7. This 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1 verse 7. Let's look at chapter 8 verse 1 and 7. Let's look at what he told them. Chapter 8 verse 1 verse 7. Look at what he said. He says, now concerning things offered to idols. Before we go further, let me tell you some of this. Paul, in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, here is how he, here are some things Paul really dealt with. For first of all, he dealt with, listen, Paul dealt with Christians' view of marriage, eating meat sacrificed to idol. That's why I see him talking about that. Public worship, Lord's Supper. He dealt with things about spiritual gifts, dealt with spiritual gifts, dealt with resurrection from the dead, dealt with love. Okay, let me leave that of love. It dealt with church orderliness and walking in the flesh, mostly. And Paul was able to sum all these things and dealt with it from the aspect of love. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at it. Very unique. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said, now concerning food sacrificed to idols, he said, we know that we all have knowledge. Did you see that? The word for that knowledge there is the word gnosis. Now, look at what he now said afterwards. He said, gnosis puffs up. Do you understand that? He says what? Gnosis puffs up. The puff up there is the word for seal. It means to make one proud. It implies to make something proud. Now he said gnosis. Remember, gnosis is not in-depth knowledge. Now he said gnosis makes one proud. You don't even know it's food, but you're already carrying your shoulders. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word for seal is used 7 times for the church at Corinth because of their knowledge, because of gnosis. So Paul calls them to order. And if you look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 18, let's rush down to Colossians 2:18. Are you in verse 18? We'll read, remember, pretext and posttext, right? So let's take it from the pretext, from verse 17 to 19. Okay. Let's start from verse 16. Say, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. Did you see that? Intruding into those things which he has not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Automatically, you see from Colossians 2:18 that being puffed up, which is for seal, is a work of the flesh. Do you understand me? Do you understand that? So Paul uses this word for the church in Corinth 7 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5. Corinthians 4 5. Let's quickly look at it again. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. He tells them, he says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsel of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Okay, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. It gives you something that is happening in the church. What does it tell you? Divisions, right? We're going to come look at it. Now he says, the reason why he's writing with Paul, with Apollos, is so that they don't puff up. It's a work of the flesh. Hallelujah. He tells them the same word in verses 19 also of that 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at it. Verses 19. Are you in verse 19? Okay. Are we from verse 18 through 19? Sorry. 18. He says, now some are puffed up. Okay, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Do you understand me? Glory to God. He's telling you, he's giving you a significant thing happening. Look at chapter 5, verse 2. from verse 1 through 2. He said, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality amongst you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man should have his father's wife. This is absurd, right? Look at verse 2. He said, and you are puffed up. You are proud about it. And have not rather mourned that he who has done this thing might be taken away from amongst you. Did you see that? Paul gives direct instruction concerning those who are immoral. Who look at that? How Paul dealt with this set of people. Hallelujah. How he dealt. How the church should handle it. These are for spiritual growth. Remember, I've shown you. All this is writing is a what? Spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. Was that what we read just now? Guess who? Hallelujah. Yes, chapter 8, verse 1. We saw him use the same word. He used the same word in chapter 13, verse 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll come when we begin to look at this chapter 8, because we'll go through it. We're not going to study it in terms of chapter, but we're going to be running through. But when we get to talk about idols, we're going to look at how Paul used two words, gnosis and ginosko. He was able to interchange them. Hallelujah. And from that, we will have to learn a lot. Hallelujah. Now, remember, gnosis is a surface level knowledge. It's not in-depth. Right? It's not in-depth. Now, that is what they have. So they are enriched in all knowledge. In all gnosis. Gnosis concerning what? Concerning the things of God. That's what he was referring to. Let's look at it. Let's read down so that we understand. So now we'll flow together and be on the same page. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gnosis about spiritual awareness. Now, I was sharing with us where gnosis was used, right? Gnosis used the same word in gnosis, right? We're talking about gnosis before I jump to puffed up. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8 is used there too. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge. You see, and I have not faith, I could move mountains. And I have all faith I could move mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. When it was all knowledge you think you have. Once there's no love, it is nothing. All gnosis. Did you see that? Meaning, number one, gnosis is incomplete. Do you understand me? If you are from this text we are looking at, you discover that what? As intelligent Bible students, you discover that what? Gnosis is not in depth, is incomplete. Right? Hallelujah. 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 You've been taught all the laws of thermodynamics, but you've never applied it. It's not in depth. Right? Just shallow. The economics. And economics according to Adam Smith, it is wealth of nations. According to Robinson, it is okay. Oga, you know the economics. Come and become CBN governor. You can't even put one into. Come and become finance minister. You can't put one into two. Do you understand me? You just have scientific knowledge, acquired knowledge. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? But it's not in depth. You cannot do a proper exegesis on it. It's not in depth. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Is it in depth? No. So you need to understand that. Hallelujah. Use the same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Also, use the same word in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. 2 verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 6, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. Let's quickly look at that. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Soon writing to the church, look at what he told them for verse 6. He said, we urge Titus that as he had begun, he would also complete this grace in you as well. Talking about the grace to give. Do you understand me? Grace for liberality. Hallelujah. In you as well. But as you abound in everything, that is in faith, in speech, in knowledge. Meaning, is he talking to the church as Corinth? The word knowledge is the word gnosis. You abound in knowledge, in all diligence, in all love for us. See that you also abound also in this grace. Talking about the grace to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a knowledgeable church. They know. Hallelujah. They know. Hallelujah. And this knowledge is different from the knowledge called idol knowledge. You know what idol knowledge is, right? E-I-D-O. Idol knowledge. Hallelujah. Just idol knowledge is the ability to be aware. You are just aware. I'm aware there was a plane crash, but I don't really know what happened. Aware, I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. Chapter 1. So he said they are enriched in all things. Now let's look at the all things. In all wisdom, in all utterance and knowledge. He said, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. 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 So their knowledge was in respect to what? The testimony of Christ concerning spiritual things. Hallelujah. Come among you. Now, verse 7, he told them something. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells them they are knowledgeable that they come short in no gift. Meaning they are well knowledgeable about gift. You understand? They have the gift in operation. Hallelujah. Now look at what goes ahead to say. Who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. Glory to God. He said, by whom we are called into the fellowship, koinonia, fellowship, partnership. Hallelujah. Fellowship. 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 Hallelujah. Partnership. Oneness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to God. I love this. We have been called into fellowship. We've been called. You know, John wrote this. He said, that our fellowship is with the Father. Right? Says you should have fellowship with us. Why is it to them in the world? John wasn't referring to believers. He said, you should fellowship with us. Because our fellowship is with the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 John, our fellowship is with the Father. Koinonia. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he went ahead to tell them in that same chapter 1. He went ahead to tell them if he said, if you. 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at that word, koinonia. Again, from John's writing. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From verse 5, say, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. He said, that which we've seen, we're talking about Jesus, and heard, I will declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. Hallelujah. Did you see that? You may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, which is with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise. Which is with the Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I now told them, if you confess. Now, I said he was writing to those who are not in the who are not in Christ. So he told them to have fellowship with them because their fellowship is with Christ. Hallelujah. So meaning, come, be saved. Now, he's telling them that, he now went to verse 9. He now told them, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What he used there is the word, if you confess. Now, you understand that from from Paul's writing in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. You confess with our heart, with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, right? Right? And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, we're not talking about the confession, literal confession of Father, I sin, come and forgive me. No, we're talking about the confession of Christ that brings about the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. That's what he was writing about here. Hallelujah. So, he is actually ministering the gospel to them. So, this is how you have fellowship with us. Glory to God. Do you understand that? So, he wasn't writing to believers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's the confession of our faith. Paul shows us. Hallelujah. Paul shows us. And John was not communicating anything different from what Paul said. And also, you have to understand the fact that John, in his opening text, didn't give an audience. So, he didn't say I was writing to the Christians or to the non-Christians. But from his write-up, we would know who his audience was in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he now defines the audience that he wants to write to again. Now, he said, now I write to you, children. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a fellowship with him too. Glory to God. Remember in verses 18 of chapter 13, 2 Corinthians, he said the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, hallelujah. Sorry, verses 13. Glory. Chapter 13, verses 14. Sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, look at verse 10. He said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and there be no divisions. Now, did you see? While we were studying, I pointed out something to Rob. From where we looked at in chapter 8, chapter 5, we saw that there is likely going to be divisions in this church, right? And Paul is saying this here. Said there be no division. Paul uses this word for only the current church. This word for divisions, hallelujah, amongst you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word for divisions is the word that actually points out to contrary opinions. I mean, they have people with contrary opinions or people that have, or the same word can imply a clique or a faction. So there are divisions, people in with different opinions. Do you understand me? As a Philemon group, not your sister Zipporah said, you know, different divisions. But I said there are divisions amongst you. The divisions might be the division might be based on the rich and the poor, rich clique, poor clique. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I didn't say that is what was happening, but it looks like. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now he said they should be in the same mind. Look at what he went ahead to say. That word for division, you find it in first. He wrote to them again in concerning it in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 18. He wrote to them again concerning it in chapter 12 verse 25.
Are you with me? Okay. Eleven verse 18 says, For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions amongst you. And in part, I believe it. Did you see? Chapter 12, verses, he uses the same word in verses 25 of chapter 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Paul uses this word alone for the church at Corinth. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 17 through 18. It says, Now, in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Meaning, our coming together is for the better. Hallelujah. When the church comes together, it's for the better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But Paul now said, because of these divisions, guys are not coming together for the better. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll discuss that holistically as we continue on the topic identifying the church. Do you understand me? That message continues too tomorrow. Hallelujah. 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 So chapter 1 verse 9, verse 11. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of who? Chloe's household, that there are contentions. Eris. Did you see? He further compounded it from division to contentions. Eris, E-R-I-S. Eris is the word stripes. It's the word variance. Meaning, it's not just divisions like this section, we still come together, but it's a strife. Meaning, they had, if you are with my group, I don't want to catch you with that group or talk to them. You know, strife. Meaning, it's a compounded one. Do you understand me? In their midst. Why won't Paul write to them in chapter 3 that you guys are babes? Did you see why Paul told them that they are babes? They couldn't talk to you as unto spiritual. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Strife, Eris. It means to dispute amongst people. Dispute, quarrel. You find the same word in Romans chapter 1 verse 28 to 29. You find the same word, let me just quickly be fast, in Galatians 5:20. Paul identified Eris as a work of the flesh. If you read all through these verses I'm going to give to you, you discover that they are all seen as work. In fact, Eris, contention is a work of the flesh. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 29. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. Let's look at that 1 Corinthians 3. You know, we just started from here. Let's look at it. Chapter 3. We know we've read verses 1, but we're going to read it all through to verse 3. It says, And I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. Meaning their identity is spiritual. Did you see that? That is supposed to be their identity. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. I mean, I couldn't talk to you as who you are. You see, but as unto Cana, as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are still not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Verse 3. For you are still Cana. For where there is envy, strife, eris, which is division amongst you. Are you not Cana? Do you understand me? Is it not the work of the flesh? Hallelujah. And behaving like men. For one say, I am of Paul, another of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Strive. This is also Paul's children. This is also Apollos. You know, in chapter 19, when Paul had departed, Apollos came to Corinth and began to teach. Do you understand me? I remember in chapter 18, Apollos was that guy that was preaching and does not know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He only knows after he's done talking, he knows
He knows exegesis of the scriptures. He knows the grammar. He knows the graphic very well. He will quote Moses and quote. But after he's done, now pour you water. Hallelujah. So it took devout men to bring him in and teach him. Do you understand me? Now, and most times, listen, I don't want to put it off the air because some people are going to still learn from it. Oh, I would have said it's supposed to be off the air, but I want to let you know. Maybe Apollos is, the Bible shows that Apollos was a good orator. Very good. People say, I belong to Apollos. I belong to Paul. Paul is gentle. I belong to Pastor Dixon. Baritone. I'm just trying to use that. Never allow strife to settle in your heart. Do you understand me? Because that's what this church did. And he made. I don't want to get to this point, but I'm going to. Hallelujah. But I'm going to be calm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul actually said some things as he dealt with that issue. Hallelujah. He said some things as he dealt with that issue. Hallelujah. 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 But we're going to look at something very quick. Very quick. Now, how did Paul deal with the issue? Now, we've seen that there's strife. There's divisions. Not just ordinary divisions. Strife. Striferous decision. Divisions. Strife. We belong to daughters of audacity. We belong to daughters of Zion. Strife! I belong to Brother Abel. I belong to Brother Philemon. Why? I like Philemon's gesticulation. He just walks like this and just gives us the word. I like Deacon Femi. He knows how to impart. You know? Contentions. People begin to say, we are off. Now, I don't want to bring myself in because I don't want to bring my HCP. We are of Pastor Ebel. Only Pastor Ebel. Pastor Ebel, our umbilical cord are tied together. So, somebody now said, I'm of Pastor Ikechukwu. You can't go with that Pastor Abel's son. You know, you begin to hear all those kind of talk. When is this start even preaching? You can't go with that. Like, fire, die here. Do you know? Contention has started little by little. So I said, okay, yeah, oh, Pastor Abel, Pastor Abel, that is so good. Grand Kuru every day. I said, you see, these two brothers are in their own place, talking and praying. Yeah, yeah, he's, you know, okay, better now. My pastor watch, fire pastor home. You know, contention starts. Do you understand? My cell leader. Your cell leader is whatever like my own. Your cell leader. You know, begin to see all these kind of stripes. Come on! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. I used to do this years back. There's a, whenever I go to the church, but I have to gradually stop it. If I discover that it's not the pastor that, before I go to the church, I ask, is it Pastor S that is ministering? Say, no. Pastor went to Akwa Ibom. I want to go to church. Before, somebody will not be giving us. A brother one day came to meet me in school. He said, Pastor, he came to meet me. And he said, sir, man, I'm having spiritual kwashoko. I was like, what's the meaning of that? He said, every day, brother, commitment.
morning, afternoon, night, brother, commitment, sister, commitment. That's what you'll be hearing in church. When we pass, stay home, I come back now. Nah. Every day. I'm like, hey, Jesus. This is... I don't know if you understand me. Because the brother that was preaching there, brother, like commitment. Brother, you are not committed. Where is your commitment? Is it in the house of the Lord or outside? Say, ah, man of God, I have spirit. He came to say to me, you see, he wanted me to teach him. Now he didn't know how to tell me, teach me the word as one of his cell leaders. He just said, sir, I have spiritual kashoko. See, you understand? I've been eating one food, carbohydrates, only carbohydrates. Fear those kind of brethren. Do you understand me? Now, you see, please don't be part of this set of people. Hallelujah. So, you see people like that. This person is not around. He? There was a time when I was going to school. Meeting was being handled by one of our brethren. The moment I left the school, I heard some brethren stop coming for meeting. I like, why? They said, our brother is too dry. That's what they said. People, I'm teaching the word, say, he's too dry. When he's talking, we'll just be sleeping. You see, those are the reasons why whenever I go to school, then, once his school is closing today, that night, in fact, I'm going to write my last paper. I have everybody in school know. I will arrange my bag and go. There was on two occasions I've carried my box to the exam hall. As I write in it, I did carry the book. Lagos, en route to Lagos. Hearing those fellows go, hey, my brethren, do you understand? So what an angry was, when I came back, the problem is not him but you. You understand? Even the brother tried though, tried well. But this is the problem is you. You don't know. Then I now had to teach them how to listen. And I now recorded a lot of tapes and said, before I go to school and come back, these tapes, if school is to resume today, I will take 1 month to file resume. So I go home early, come back late. 1 month doing the word. Ojukwu is not an excuse for you. Don't say you learnt it from somewhere. You didn't learn it from you. Hallelujah. So you go to school when it's time to go to school. Hallelujah. But seriously, it was. He said, it's too dry. Can you see that? No honor. So, strife. We find this happening in the church at Corinth. Hallelujah. 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 Some of those brethren that said that, some of them are now pastors. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're now pastors. So, it is well with them too. Hallelujah. The word kept them, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Now, chapter 3, right? Now he said, some said, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Paul is trying to address that division. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. In addressing that division, first of all, look at chapter 1, verse 26. Look at what he said to them in addressing that. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many are called. Look at verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world to and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Now, no matter the divisions, it brings to their notice that they are where? In Christ Jesus. Now, he said, look at the reason for their divisions, verse 22. He said, the Jews request a sign, and the Greek after wisdom. Did you see that? Now, he says, hey, you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom. Who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, he who glory, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That word was coined or was gotten from Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 24. Hallelujah. 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 He, let him who glory, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Paul tells them, number one, they are in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In chapter 2, in dealing with this, in chapter 2, he tells them, in chapter 2, he tells them that they are spiritual. Do you understand? He tells them they are spiritual. Chapter 2, from verse 9 to verses 15. Verse 14. I mean, verses 13, say, these things we also speak, not in the words in which wisdom, in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. He tells them they are spiritual. The words are spiritual and they are spiritual. You understand me? Glory to God. He said, these things I have not seen here, I have not heard, and I sent into the heart of man the things which God had planned for them that love his saints, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who did you reveal it to? He revealed it to the holy apostles and prophets. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Only apostles and prophets. It is not different. Only apostles who are prophets. The word for prophet is the word used, the mouthpiece. Meaning the apostles are God's mouthpiece. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. The word is
Amen.
Kai. Kehi. Kai. Choose one, hallelujah. Choose one, understand what I'm saying, hallelujah. Now he said he has revealed them to us. And what did he reveal? Verse 16. But who has known the mind of Christ that he may sort it? They will have the mind of Christ. Did you understand that? Because they're spiritual, it tells them they have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. So, Paul tackles this with identification, not with the section, but in Christ. We are in Christ, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul was also in talking to them about their divisions. Now, remember, we'll see what the divisions is and what the contentions were. Look at verses 4 through verse 5. He said, verses 3. He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive, read chapter 2, verse 4. Were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. But I didn't come to you with the wisdom of man. I didn't come to you with philosophies. It's not philosophies. I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit power. That's what I came to you with. The gospel was the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Do you understand me? Look at verse 9. He told them again. Hallelujah. Verse 6. He says, however, we speak the wisdom of God among those who are matured. They're not the wisdom of this age, not the rulers of this age who are coming to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory. Did you see that? The mind of Christ, which we have. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the church at Corinth said, we have the minds of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he went ahead to tell them, in chapter 3, your contention is between I am for Apollos, I am. Now that is part of their contentions. I am for Apollos, I am for what? Paul, I am for this. Now look at what he told them in verse 5. Say, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to
each one. I planted. Apollos watered. Did you see? He's bringing, letting them know. I planted. Apollos watered. Who does the increase? God give it the increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So is neither, so then neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Did you see that? He who plants and he who waters are what? Are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. According to his own labor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Look at what he said next in verse 9. He said, for we are God's fellow workers. Hallelujah. The one who plants and the one who labors are what? The one who plants and the one who waters are what? Laborers together with the Lord. We are God's fellow laborers. Now, who are they? He said, you are God's field. He tells them, brings identification, you are God's field. You are God's husbandry. Hallelujah. You are God's workmanship. Remember that in Ephesians, right? You are God's workmanship. So we are workers together with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you see that? He gives them identification. Now, he went ahead now to define what he does. He says, you are God's building. God resides in you. You are his building. No need for contention. You are God's building. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Is it verse 15? Yeah. He said, let's quickly watch down there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Chapter 3, right? Verses 15, yeah. It says, but if I'm delayed, 1 Timothy 3:15. If I'm delayed, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. The word house of God is the word oikos, which means a family. You are God's building. You are God's family. Do you understand me? It signifies a family. You are God's family. We are his church. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the living God? Don't you know? You are God's building, God's workmanship, God's field, God's husbandry. We are workers together with him. Hallelujah. 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 This is who we are. Our identification with him. You see, I told someone years back, I said, the more you are Christ conscious, the less you worry about the things of this world. The more, I use the word Christ conscious, the more you are conscious of who you are, the less you worry about the workings of the flesh. Hallelujah. 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 The more you are, you see, you have no time. Pastor Shepard will say, take your eyes off it. Just shift your eyes off it. Hallelujah. Then just shift your eyes. Shift the base. Hallelujah. Stop looking at your flesh. Look at who you are. Who are you? There is contention. And Paul says, you are God's building. Take your eyes off the faction. You are God's building. Who are you? I'm God's building. I know who I am. So the more I know myself, the more I see myself, the more I'm conscious of myself, the less I walk in the flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A child of God who finds it hard to laugh, who is always angry, tell the child, no, tell that it's because the person doesn't know himself. And the person knows that he is loved. Love is shed abroad in his heart. The person begins to meditate or begins to see himself with that consciousness. Love is abroad in my heart. The less the person gets angry, the less. Remember, what they know is just surface knowledge. Gnosis. Hallelujah. Amen. They are just gnosis. That's something that happens when people just hear the word and don't go back to check. Or don't walk in the light of the world. Just have surface knowledge. Hallelujah. There are some people, not here, there are some people who all they do is Sunday tonic. The book, they can take notes for Africa. They never go through the notes. But call for the next bash. Call for the next club. You see them there. They say, you know, we are in Christ, but we are still in the world. While you are in the world, you enjoy the world. You go through the world, let the world go through you. Carnality! Lose conscious of who you are. Somebody once told me when I got when I gained admission, I said, you know, you are getting to the university, you have to pass through the university, allow the university to pass through you. I went and I said, the university will not pass through me. I will pass the university and I will conquer it for Christ. Hallelujah. If the university should pass through, in the university there is cultism. So cultism too will pass through you. Have you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Have 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. According to the grace of God that is given to me as a wise master builder. You see, Paul is saying he's a wise master builder. Architecton. An architect. A chief architect. Hallelujah. A master builder. Chief architect. Glory to God. Now Paul says he is a master architect, master builder, not just ordinary tent maker. He builds Christ in your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, these are the things that make us say Paul, or Paul, you know, Paul is a foundational apostle. These are the ones that laid the foundation of Christ. Hallelujah. So he says he's a master builder. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. As a master builder, I say, I have laid the foundation. Temelios. I've laid the foundation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Temelios. Let's look at some scripture that uses the same word. Luke chapter 6, verse 48.
Somebody should read. Okay, let's open to Luke 6, 48. Oh.
Luke 6, 48. Are you in Luke chapter 6? I'm in 48. Okay, 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Remember pretext, now 48. He's like a man building a house and dug deep and laid the temelios, the foundation on the rock. Hallelujah. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Hallelujah. He used the same word in chapter 14, verse 29. Luke 14, 29. Luke chapter 14, verse 29. Luke chapter 14. Let's look at verse 29 quickly. From verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Least after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. Foundation. He used the same word too in Acts 16:26. You can read that. Romans 15:20. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. Where we are. Verse 11 and verse 12. Means he uses the same word. Temelios. Ephesians 2:20. Let's look at Ephesians 2:20 quickly. Ephesians 2:20, I read. We are rounding up. I read. From verse 19. The pretext. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, Kabashatalamandia, with the saints, hallelujah, and members of the oikos of God,
the household, members of the family of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Having been built, O Ikodomio, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles which are prophets. Hallelujah. Did you see? Meaning the apostles laid the foundation of Christ. The foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19, you find the same word there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll read chapter 6, verse 19, and read chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, stirring up for themselves a good foundation for time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 2:19. The foundation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God. Having this seed, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Temelios. From all this, as Bible student, what do you think is temelios? It means something that is fixed and stable. Firm. Forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Temelios, something that has been fixed and stable. Permanent. So Paul said, I have laid the foundation. Who lays the foundation? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. The apostles, the foundation apostles, they have laid the foundation. What is the foundation? Verse 11. It says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the foundation has been laid for us. Nobody is laying foundation again. Hallelujah. You want to lay foundation for the church, lay it in your pocket. Hallelujah. We will say, I am not a foundational apostle. I want to lay foundation. No. Hallelujah. It has been laid. Hallelujah. So therefore, you are not permitted to have a different revelation from the one that Paul, Peter, and the foundational apostles have given us. You are not permitted. Be a 10-star general in a 10-star bishop. Be the Lord's Majesty. Be anything. His Highness. Be an archbishop. You are not permitted. Be a pope. You are not permitted. Arch prophet. You are not permitted. Do you understand me? A general prophet. You are not permitted. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? That there are some people who say, do not give me a revelation. No! If it is, see, years back, I used to tell my brother something. Not my family, not my blood brother, but my brother, for those of you who know him, hallelujah. So then I said, nothing that can be taught will not be found in the scriptures. Do you understand me? Remember what we read in Colossians chapter 2? As in vision, vainly puffed up by mere visions. I used to tell people, God will not show you anything outside the orbit of his word. It's not from God if you cannot treat it to the scriptures. Kenneth Hagin will say, Papa Kenneth will say, he said one day the Holy that one day the Lord Jesus appeared to him and showed him and told him a lot of things. He said he just carried his Bible in the vision and said, show me. Say, show me, prove it. If I believe. Do you understand me? Jesus appeared to me. Was not telling me that the fire that will roast a lot of believers. It's not Jesus you saw. It's your great grandfather. You need to know it's your great grandfather you saw. Not Jesus. He's just showing you where he is. Yes! You need to be careful! Somebody appeared one day and said he went to hell. He went to his backyard. No hell. And I saw notable preachers. You went nowhere. You just visited your backyard. People have gone, and they have, you see, they have carried people away. One came and said, she's sister, who again? No.
No, that's it. None of my sister.
Huh? Linda. Is it Linda? Yes, sister Linda. I was saying funny things.
Right.
Are you really didn't actually want to listen? We're just hearing sister Linda. Just the same way we are hearing Pamela Y. Hallelujah. We're hearing sister Linda everywhere. And I told somebody, what will happen will come from that nation. That lady is coming from. Because she deceived a lot of people. And that was the same year. A year before that, we prophesied during our December meeting that there was going to be an outbreak of a serious disease. And it happened, Ebola struck out from that same city when that woman came from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you're not permitted to have another foundation. Say, Lord has told me that I matter as a foundation in these last days. Or tells us what to do. You see, please take note. It doesn't mean you don't have a mandate for ministry. It's different. Hallelujah. Like word imparters will have a mandate for ministry in the last days, right? But not to plant a foundation. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Paul tells us what to do. Look at what he said. Look at verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, our work is not new. Do you understand me? What do we use to build? The words of the apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You build on it. So, Paul goes ahead to explain. He goes ahead to explain. Verses 10, according to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Not that which will be laying. No? Like a layer's egg or a layer's fowl. You keep laying. It has been laid. Glory to God. Which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone works which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I'm going to explain that when we come from our next, as we continue on this topic. I'm going to explain what is Paul talking about here. Hallelujah. What is Paul talking about here? And we'll continue from here next week. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Have you been blessed?
Yes, sir.
Let's be on our feet. Let's go now.